DJMCloud.com podcast, episode 74. Earlier today, I got into a discussion on Twitter with Renee Ritchie of iMore.com. That's a website that's about Apple, and they are very up to date about stuff. They do a good job covering the industry, but I've noticed some of the things that Renee has said lately, and there seem to be lines he's using that sound like they might be fed to him by Apple PR, or maybe it's more about anticipating what Apple PR thinks. So I tweeted to him about saying he was unofficial Apple PR, and then that what happened to the stock manipulation story, and I was wondering if he got ahead of the facts. And so he tweeted back to me, and he said that he has almost no access to Apple PR, which fair enough on as a response, but it's a matter of taking positions that are not only pro Apple, and not only taking all the evidence with a pro Apple confirmation bias and arranging things that way, but also then questioning the motives of people reporting information that is either not what the Apple fan thinks is true, or analysis that they don't agree with. They'll start impugning the motives to the extent now they're throwing around the term stock manipulation, which was what the question was about. I don't know. I don't know if some people realize that that's a pretty serious kind of accusation, and it has real meaning in the financial and securities world. So I think that what I want to ask is, where's the evidence? Not that reports. I think that the there have been fingers pointed at a recent Financial Times article. That's the one. Renee Ritchie tweeted today in response to me, quote, "Stock manipulation seems to be continuing, though, if yesterday's Foxconn story is any indicator," unquote. So the Foxconn story that he's referring to, I think, was about something about the employment levels there going down, or the hiring levels going down, or something like that. But I don't know what the real meaning of it was, but there's a dispute over what made at Foxconn might account for this change, and different companies' products are made there. So I don't know, but it was reported, there was one of the reports in the Financial Times. So what I'm wondering is that the accusation that Renee Ritchie is making, that the Financial Times is actually engaging in stock manipulation? Not that he doesn't agree with their analysis, or maybe he's even saying that they're not reporting facts correctly. But I think that when you hear the term stock manipulation being thrown around, I think that's a very strong it's a very strong accusation. I'm wondering where the evidence for that is. There's an Apple investor named David Einhorn. He runs a hedge fund. He has an idea about unlocking some of the value in the shares of Apple for all the cash that the company is presently sitting on. Apple has an enormous cash hoard, and the question is, what value can the shareholders get from it, considering that a lot of the cash, because of the strange and unwise U.S. tax code, a lot of that money, I think, is sitting overseas. Well, what can a shareholder, you know, do to get some of that value out of that? And one of the proposals, it's reported in CBSNews.com, quote, on a conference call with investors and reporters, David Einhorn, founder of hedge fund Greenlight Capital, laid out the case for something he calls, quote, IPREFs, unquote, a class of dividend-bearing preferred stock, unquote. Well, so, you know, he's looking at certain kind of preferred stock that he wants to have issued, and then he's looking for, you know, nice dividends to be paid so that Apple investors can take advantage of all that cash that the company is currently hoarding. The number apparently reaches to above 100 billion right now. Well, the Pope resigned. There's been a great deal of coverage over that. I don't know what I really have to add to it. I know that the church has a lot of different crises it's facing. The one over clergy abuse and the problems with attendance and, well, in places like North America and Europe anyway. There's a lot of issues with the church. But my take on the outgoing Pope, well, let me read a couple of tweets I wrote. Pope Benedict was an arrogant extremist who started an ugly crusade against American nuns, undermined Vatican II, and served in Hitler Youth. I also wrote, nuns are one of the few parts of the church where you will find some progressives. This Pope started a witch hunt against these women. And I think that people that have been following the story know that there's been a very unfair kind of crusade against the nuns. There are doctrinal disputes, real or imagined, that the Vatican has decided means that they have to supervise, maybe you could even say harass and undermine the authority of the local leaders of the orders. And this is the kind of issue that really, I mean, it's unnecessary with all the other problems the church has and the fact they need to deal with all those other things. And then that was just one more that really, you know, that this particular Pope is responsible for. Thank you. Well, this this space here, the recording studio, definitely gonna have to figure out like how am I going to rearrange it, because I wanna have a different setup in here. I have to make a setup that includes a nice desk for Jessica, and I'm gonna move one of these tables in the corner. But I think I'm gonna have to just kind of figure out how to make this, you know, an optimal audio recording studio. And then when you think about it, I think what I have to do is I have to actually make it an audio and video recording operation. I mean, of course, I have video equipment, and I should probably occasionally make a video podcast too, but I want to have it set up so that I can, you know, put my camera on the tripod. I mean, I have a tripod. It's not that great, but it's all right. I should probably get a better tripod, then hook one of those cameras up through, USB or FireWire. I think I could run a FireWire into the iMac, and then, you know, have that as the streaming camera. I have my good, you know, Sony video camera doing that, and then actually make it a decent studio. And then of course you gotta have an okay, like, kind of backdrop setup and everything. So, you know, this setup has been good, but it was really arranged more around recording music, guitar, stuff like that. And now probably gonna do more audio and you know, podcasting type stuff. So I think I need to set up differently. And there's other spaces in this house that actually fit the needs of music recording pretty well, where you can get some echoes and some reverb in parts of the house that might work for a certain type of music recording. Certainly for musical instruments being played live and, you know, recorded live in a lot of circumstances. I saw this article about the owner of the Cleveland Browns. It appears that this guy is one of the people that's investing a lot of money in fracking. Of course, the University of Tennessee is involved in fracking too. But the Pilot Flying J Truck Stop CEO, Jimmy Haslam, that dude is the Browns owner, and he's also a major investor in fracking. And, you know, I'm not a Browns fan, but people in Cleveland around here, you know, I think they should really think about what they're supporting. I mean, not only is it a loser franchise, but this is not a good kind of owner, I don't think, that, you know, you want to be associated with, you know, giving all that concession money to, even if all those local chefs are supporting him. This has been episode number 74 of the DJMCloud.com podcast with me, Dan McKeown, recorded February 21st, 2013. I was your one. A little late night alone. Yeah.